God's word for you, 1 Chronicles 21, 14 and 15. So the Lord sent a plague against Israel, and 70,000 men of Israel fell. Also God sent an angel to Jerusalem to destroy it, but as he was about to destroy it, the Lord saw, and he relented from the calamity. Then he said to the destroying angel, "It is enough, drop your hand." And the angel of the Lord was standing by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. The plague that the Lord sent against Israel was a destroying angel, a malach mashchit. We know for certain that this was one of God's good angels and not one of the wicked demons, because the nation and the city of Jerusalem did not fall into the hands of anyone apart from God. The good angels fill many roles in God's kingdom. They worship him, Psalm 148. They carry out his commands, Daniel 7. They are ministering spirits sent to help God's people, Hebrews 1. They accompany the revelation of God's holy word, giving the law, the incarnation of Christ, the struggle in Gethsemane, the resurrection, and so forth. And they protect believers and the elect, Psalm 91:11. They punish God's enemies, 2 Kings 19. They assist the government of the world, as in Daniel 6:22, and they protect against danger, Isaiah 37:36. They also accompany the church in worship, as we see in Galatians 3:19. And they accompany the individual members of the church, as in Matthew 18, and even accompany Christians in death as their souls are taken to heaven, as we see in Luke 16:22. This angel did God's bidding, and if we had to find a category from the above list, it would surely be that they carry out God's commands. As the angel was moving to destroy Jerusalem, the Lord stopped him. The basic meaning of the word I've translated relent is to be sorry or to be moved with compassion. From a human point of view, the Lord seemed to change his mind, when in fact his will to change David's heart and to His will was to change David's heart and to strike a memorable lesson had been accomplished. The Lord's outcry to his angel, "Enough!" shows his compassion, and it is a proclamation of the gospel. Also, God did not want to destroy the place where his ark was. The Lord used this precise moment to stop the angel, to draw attention to the location of the threshing floor of Ornan, who's also called Araunah in 2 Samuel, who was a Jebusite. Recall that the Jebusites were the original inhabitants of the city when David conquered it. Ornan must have survived the attack and the conquest and been allowed to continue to farm above, that is, north of the city. His threshing floor was going to be the location of the temple when it would be built by David's son Solomon. We'll meditate more about this with verse 18 below. Some readers may wonder whether the angel of the Lord, toward the end of verse 15, is the capital A, angel of the Lord, that is, an appearance of the Son of God before his incarnation here in the Old Testament. Unfortunately, there have been times in the past when some different means of identifying the angel of the Lord have been published, even within our own circles. We would hope that most translations would get this right, but a translator is not infallible. Neither is an editor. The only way to understand the identity of a reference to the angel of the Lord as the pre-incarnate Christ, or is it an ordinary angel, it comes from the context of the things. First of all, that he says, if there are things only God would say, such as when the angel said, "I brought you up out of Egypt," in Judges 2. Or second, things that are said about him, such as when Hagar says to the angel of the Lord, "You are the God who sees me," in Genesis 16:7. We show our contrition with our lives, but it must live in our hearts and not merely in our actions. The thief must no longer steal, says Ephesians 4:28. Or as John Chrysostom said, in the heart, contrition, in the mouth, confession, in the deed, complete humility. Here in this moment, as the angel stands with his sword drawn over Mount Zion, we see a Well, the same thing that would happen when the Lord withdrew his destroying hand from over Nineveh in the days of Jonah. Then the prophet preached that they would be destroyed in 40 days. And the whole city repented, put on sackcloth, rubbed ashes in their hair. They declared a fast for everyone, and they even imposed the fast on their donkeys and other animals. But the main part of their repentance was stated by their king, not by the prophet. He said, "Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and turn with compassion from his fierce anger so that we will not perish." That's Jonah 3, 7, and 8. And this is just what happened when our Lord paid the penalty of our guilt on the cross. The Lord's hand was raised, but he turned back his wrath on account of the Savior who came between the Father's wrath and our guilt. The Lord relented and turned with compassion from his fierce anger so that we will never perish, but have eternal life. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's word for you.